him all these and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when birds of the prey came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. Now, as the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell over Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, "Know this for certain, that your offspring shall be aliens in a land that is not theirs, and shall be slaves there, and shall be oppressed for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterwards they shall come out with great possessions. As for yourself, you shall go to your ancestors in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age. And then they shall come back forth in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete." May the Lord bless the reading of his scripture. And please pray with me. Dear Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Waiting, waiting, waiting. I don't know about you, but don't we spend the better part of our days just doing that? Just waiting? We wait at the doctor's office. We wait in the line at the grocery store. We wait in traffic in order to take our turn. We wait for a job application. We wait for our kids to get home. And if we're single, we wait for Mr. or Ms. Wright. We wait to hear the news from a loved one. And we wait. The fact is, we're waiting most of the time. But despite our impatience and our dislike, waiting is a given, right? So I looked up the definition of waiting, and here's what Ms. Webster told us. She said, "Waiting means to stay in a place until an unexpected event happens, until someone arrives, or until it's your turn to do something. Waiting means to remain in a state in which you expect or hope that something else will happen." And isn't that what God is asking Abraham to do in our scripture reading this morning? We read, God says, "Look to the heavens and count the stars, if you're able to count them. For shall your descendants be?" See, God was promising Abraham a nation of God's people, a nation which Abraham would be leading. God told Abraham he would take possession of the land, even though God would punish him and his people first. Then he told Abraham that he would go to his forefathers and live in peace and be buried at a ripe old age. God was telling Abraham that if he waited, he would become the father of all of Israel, he would receive the land that he was promised, and he would live to be a ripe old age. Those promises certainly seem waiting for to me. What do you think? God didn't say to Abraham, "Okay, now it's time to grab your lawn chair, grab that glass of lemonade, head out to the back porch, kick back, and just wait for all of this to unfold." No, it required action on Abraham's part. And here's the deal. A covenant requires the action of two parties. Both parties agree to do their work in maintaining the covenant. And we too are called to take action while we wait for God, while we wait for God to arrive, to do something else. We wait until he calls us to do something else. All while we are being called to action and not to be paralyzed while we wait. You know, Patty Wetterling knows what it means to wait. She's been waiting on God since Sunday evening, October 22nd, 1989. Now, if I do my math right, and I am a mortgage banker, that means she's been waiting for 37 years, waiting on God to do something. You see, that was the night her son Jacob and his cousin were riding their bike on a dirt road outside of St. Cloud. They were abducted. They have never been seen or heard from since. Jacob vanished. But Patty Wetterling hasn't waited idly. Within 4 months, she started the Jacob Wetterling Foundation, which helps parents all around the world looking for their missing children. She was instrumental in getting the Amber Alert system in place. And she's become an advocate of missing children and their parents and is known all over the planet. You see, she's been hopefully and expectantly waiting, living out her call in the midst of her waiting. And lots of us in our community are waiting for justice. At the same time, we're grieving for the loss of the law enforcement folks who worked in justice. You see, Dallas Police Chief David Brown is hopefully and expectantly waiting on God to help him make sense of the senseless killing of 5 of his fellow police officers. But he didn't wait without taking action. Within hours of those shootings, Chief Brown was addressing the nation, asking us for calm, asking us for prayer, asking us to pray for peace. He asked people to redirect their rage, to submit their employment applications, ask them to become part of the solution, even ask them to consider being part of the Dallas Police Force. And did you know that that first week he got 467 applications to join the Dallas Police Force? You see, that's what God's people do. We wait eagerly and we take action while we wait on God. We wait hopefully, we wait expectantly, and we take action. We step up and we become engaged during our time of waiting. We don't sit back and wait. And like the Christian song says that I heard on the way to the Uptown Out Fair last evening, it says, "Dear God, when are you going to do something?" And God answers, "I did. I created you." Our scripture tells us also that having faith is an important part of waiting on God. Without faith, knowledge, trust, we simply won't wait. Well, at least not without a whole lot of anxiety or without taking matters into our own hands. You see, our sister Katie Mattson Daly knows what it's like to wait. She's been waiting in faith on God since last February when she suffered a concussion. Katie's been waiting on the knowledge that God is in control, that he does have a plan for her life. Katie has certainly been wondering if maybe God thought she needed a rest, a pause, time to reflect. But regardless, Katie has remained faithful in the knowledge, in the wisdom, and in the trust that her God will deliver on his promise, that he will deliver on the promise for her life and for her purpose. Which brings me to my story. I've been waiting on God since May 22nd, when I graduated from Bethel Seminary. You see, unlike many of my seminarian friends, they knew exactly what their ministry call was and exactly what they would be doing the following Monday. I did not. I had a few more hours to fulfill here at Park Avenue on my internship, and I still don't completely know what God's call is and what my next position in ministry will be. So while I wait, I guess I'll just hang out here and keep serving this community until I know what my next call is. I'll be waiting in faith and in knowledge and trusting the Almighty God. God's plan for Abraham was that he would start getting busy, start putting together a family so that his family could become as numerous as the stars in the sky. Abraham would become the leader of his people, leading them through the wilderness for 40 long years as they waited until they found and became ready to enter the promised land. And oh my gosh, Caleb was 85 years old when he led the Israelites into the promised land. So don't you dare disqualify yourself because of age. And God told Abraham, just like he tells us today, don't be afraid. I am your shield and your very great reward. So we wait. We wait and we do stuff. We look for ways to just not sit on our hands in the meantime. And sometimes that waiting gets messy, doesn't it? But I suggest one other thing that's okay to do while we wait. Something we may not think is okay. We can ask God questions. You see, Abraham asked God's questions, questions to try to understand and to gain an understanding of what God's plan was for him. And the Bible is full of all kinds of folks who ask God's questions during their time of waiting. Moses did, Daniel, King David, Esther, the prophets, Paul, the disciples, and even Jesus asked God questions during his time of waiting. Because asking questions is encouraged and even acceptable to God. We ask God questions when we see horrific events going on in our neighborhood, in our community, in our country, in our world. Sometimes we cry out to God, "What is going on, God? What do you want me to do? What should I do, God? Should I stay in your word and keep gaining wisdom? Should I bring food or supplies to the protesters? Should I talk to my friends and family and help them see their blind spots? Should I write an editorial? Or should I do something else? What is our role during this time of waiting?" I don't know what you might be waiting for this morning. I don't know if it's news about your health, if it's news about the health of a loved one, if it's about waiting on how to have a conversation with your kids, with other family members. What I do know is that Scripture tells us to wait on the Lord. Unlike anything else, unlike the fleeting world that we live in, the sovereign Lord of the universe does love all of us. And because of his steadfast love, it's that he gave his only Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, to die. He took all of our sins to the cross. This is the God who has established his throne in heaven, who sovereignly rules over all who wait. And as King David the psalmist wrote, "Wait on the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait on the Lord." Amen.